We celebrate today one of the great feasts of the year. We all know the story well. God became man to save us from sin and death. Why did he do this? The fathers of the church say that God became man so that he could restore in us the image of God. God became man so that man might be restored to the image of God. In the creation account, we hear how God made man in his own image and likeness. We know what this means, image and likeness. There are many fathers and sons here. Right? Children look like their parents. When God made man in his own image and likeness, he made them male and female, it says. Mankind was made in the image and likeness of God. That means that among all creation, which he created and loved, at the climax of his creation on the sixth day, he made a creature that was his own son, his own children. And he put him in a perfect environment. He planted a garden. Who here does not love to hear the word garden? Green, flowers, babbling brooks, a hummingbird, a butterfly. These things bring joy to our heart. Why do they bring joy to our heart? What is that childlike joy that we find when we're walking down the street or we're in the backyard and suddenly we see a hummingbird? Or we see a butterfly? Or we walk past a little brook and we hear that sound and we recognize a beauty there. It's part of the nature of all of mankind to use language familiar to the Silicon Valley. It's part of our hardwiring. It's part of all hardwiring of every human being. And this is why we yearn for a garden. Who doesn't, when they have an opportunity, plant some flowers? And they live in a skyrise. They still want to put some flowers out on the window and try to create some sort of little garden there. Who doesn't plant flowers and hope that birds will come and butterflies and hummingbirds into their backyard and fruit trees? What is our fascination with fruit trees? You can buy them at Safeway. You can buy all the fruit you want. We want to create this environment. You can go to Russia, Asia, the Pacific Islands, Europe, the Middle East, Africa. Wherever you go, you will find human beings trying to plant beautiful gardens and taking joy in something so simple that is common to all of us. It's part of our hardwiring. No one pours reinforced concrete over their backyard and says, "How beautiful." We plant a garden. This is part of our hardwiring. The problem is the software can be changed out, as you all know. God told man that he was to obey his word. What loving father does not tell this to his children? Obey my direction, my son. It will keep you safe. And God gave them a commandment that day in the garden. He said, "You can eat of all of the trees of the garden. I've created this beautiful place for you to dwell here on earth, and I will dwell here with you. But there's one tree in the garden that you cannot eat. If you eat it, you will die." Now, why would God put such a dangerous tree in the garden? What loving father would do such a thing? Do you not have knives in your kitchen? Do you not have an oven in your kitchen? Do you not have maybe a fireplace or a furnace? Think of how many dangerous things. Think of how fast you drove down the freeway to get here today. Maybe swerving in and out of traffic. Hopefully being polite. In wet weather. How dangerous. Now, would you let your 3-year-old drive the car? No. So the car is a very dangerous thing, like a knife or fire, but it's also a good thing in the right hands that can bring about a good. It got you here. That freeway out there, that road, very nice, very, very wonderful. It is good, but you don't let children go play in it. So there are good things that we create that are dangerous for those who are not yet ready. And the fathers of the church, St. Ephrem the Syrian in particular, says that God would have allowed them to eat of the tree of knowledge when they were ready. Isn't this what we do with our children? We share with them what they need to know on a need-to-know basis. You don't explain everything in the world to a 3-year-old child. No, as they grow, you give them the knowledge they need. And God was going to give them the knowledge they needed through that tree as they grew in the family of God. But we all who have had children know how it goes. Right? When you can't have something, that's the thing you want. And so, unfortunately, Adam and Eve reached out for that tree, which they thought would give them joy, happiness, knowing that God had said, this was not for you at this time. Isn't this really all of our sin? Every one of us, when we sin no differently than Adam and Eve in the garden. I heard the other day of someone who was complaining, oh, how come Adam did this? It would have been so much better if he hadn't messed everything up for us. Well, look at our own lives. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, our sin is of a different nature than Adam. It's not the exact same sin, but what we're doing in the end is the same thing. We all look to a place, a thing in creation, and say, that thing will give me joy. That thing, if I can only have it, I will be happy. And we all know what happens. Right? When we finally have that thing, knowing God has said, this is not for you at this time, once we have it, there's an emptiness. We realize it wasn't what we thought it was. And we know that we've now broken our relationship with our Father. Just like a child who disobeys their father. They've broken that trust. Adam and Eve, their sin on that day in the end was a lack of trust. And if you do not trust somebody, you have no relationship. They cut themselves off from a relationship with their father out of a lack of trust. And isn't this what we all do when we sin? I know this is something God says I cannot have. I shouldn't have this right now, but if I had that, I'll tell you, I would be happy. And then we know what happens. And so we know what happened to Adam and Eve that day in the garden. They separated themselves from God. And then God cast them out of the garden. Why? He came to them and asked them, what did you do? Seeking repentance. The fathers of the church tell us that God came to them seeking repentance. Like any father does with his children. There's a crash in the kitchen. You run in. There's the cookie jar. Cookies on the ground. One of the children has a cookie in their hand, a cookie in their mouth, and chocolate all over. What do? You say, what happened? Now you know what happened. God knew what happened. But he was giving, as any parent does, the child an opportunity to repent. But instead, as we often find with our own children, there was not repentance but blame. Oh, it wasn't me. She did it. No, it was a serpent. No repentance. So God sent them out of the garden because he loved them. If your child plays with a knife in the kitchen while you're frying with oil some piece of meat, and they cut themselves, even though you told them not to touch the knife, are you going to then say, now just stay right there, I have to go in the other room for a second, and leave them there with a frying pan of hot oil? And so God, as a loving Father, sent them out of the garden that day because they had not repented. And there was now something much more dangerous for them in the garden. And that was the tree of life. That which He had given to them to be a source of health and life had now become a greater source of danger. Because separated from their loving Father, if they were to eat of this tree of life, though dying bodily at this moment, if they were to eat of the tree of life, their life bodily would be restored. And they would live forever, bodily, while spiritually dead to God. And He didn't want that for His children. And so through salvation history, He prepared mankind for this day. He called Abraham from the nations for the sake of the nations. He said to Abraham in chapter 12, verse 3 of the book of Genesis, He says, through your seed, all the nations will be blessed. He called Abraham from the nations for the sake of the nations. And this is what He does whenever He calls any one of us. When He called Isaiah or Moses, when He called the apostles, when He calls you, when He calls me, He calls us for the sake of those around us. And He called Abraham for the sake of the nations, that through Abraham's seed, someday, through his descendants, all the nations could be blessed. We know what happened with Israel, the children of Abraham, who were called from the nations out of Egypt and went right back to the nations, worshiping the pagan gods. So finally, He sent His Son. God became man to show us what Israel was supposed to be. God became man to show us what Adam was supposed to be. A man walking this earth in perfect accord with the will of God, filled with His Holy Spirit. What did we do with Him? Well, we killed Him. Not too different from what Adam did to himself in the garden. But God raised Him from the dead. And this is the good news. God is the author of life. And He desires that all of mankind have life. And to have it in abundance. And so His Son came and took on our human nature, our fallen human nature that tended towards sin and death, and He raised it up. He restored our bodies, our nature, to what we were supposed to be. And Jesus was, as He said to Philip, the image of the invisible God. When Philip said, Jesus, it's enough to show us. Just show us the Father once. And He says, Philip, have I been with you this long and still you do not know? He who has seen me has seen the Father. St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, He is the image of the invisible God. The New Testament authors are reminding us of the story of creation. In the end, all of salvation history began in the garden and it will end in the garden. Jesus rose from the dead, and through His resurrection, we too can have life. St. Paul says all of us who have been baptized into Christ have died with Him, have been buried with Him, and raised to newness of life. We have come forth from the baptismal font, like Adam from the waters of the first creation. Like Adam had the breath of life breathed into his nostrils, the priest laid his hands on our head, and we received the Holy Spirit. And then we were welcomed into the church, singing, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. And we walked back into this Garden of Eden here on earth, and we ate of the fruit of the tree of life, of which Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the good news. This is the good news that we have. This is the good news. No other than the religion on the face of the earth has this good news. We all face death. We all have buried loved ones. Our parents, our spouses, our siblings, sometimes even tragically our own children. God didn't plan it this way. Death may be very common, but it's not normal. It is not normal to our nature. This is not how God created us. And we all know that when we stand at the deathbed of one of our loved ones. But the joy we have in our heart, the hope we have when we kiss our loved one for the last time and close that coffin, when we throw dirt in the hole, we have hope in our heart because we know, as Jesus said, that our grandmother, our grandfather, our spouse, our siblings, our children will rise again by the power of Jesus Christ. Because this was His word. This is why He came, to give us life. God's plan was to dwell with us in the Garden of Eden for all eternity, and His plan will not be thwarted. This is why He was born this day. This is why He died, and this is why He rose from the dead. And someday He will come again and raise our mortal bodies from the dead. Glory be to Jesus Christ, with His eternal Father, His all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.